Connects Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Federal Judge James Boasberg says there's probable cause the Trump administration acted in contempt of court when it defied his order to bring back two deportation flights earlier this year. But Rachel Barkow, a New York University law professor, says that enforcing a contempt finding could be a challenge.
It could be a fine. It could be imprisonment of the people that were actually held. But getting that contempt order enforced would also require cooperation by the Department of Justice, and it's possible that they wouldn't comply with that.
Trump administration says Kilmar Abrego Garcia will not return to the U.S. He's the Maryland man deported to El Salvador. The administration says that was because of a clerical error, but they maintain he's a gang member. A day after trade talks between the U.S. and Japan, President Trump today meets with Italy's prime minister. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell warned Wednesday that tariffs will likely cause higher inflation. This is ABC News. Three people were killed when two boats collided during a professional fishing tournament in Alabama. State law enforcement agency said three people on a center console vessel died when it was struck by a bass fishing boat. Major League Fishing canceled the final day of the competition. The World Car of the Year awards were handed out at the New York International Auto Show. ABC's Mike Dubusky was there.
The electric hatchback Kia EV3 is the World Car of the Year for 2025. Sister company Hyundai also took home a prize, with the subcompact Inster winning World EV of the Year. Neither vehicle is for sale in the U.S., though Kia has said it plans to bring the EV3 to the American market soon. Right now, it's built in South Korea and would be subject to the Trump administration's automotive tariffs.
The New York City Medical Examiner said actress Michelle Trachtenberg died of complications from diabetes. She was found in her Manhattan apartment in February. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
NBL Transportation, reliable and on time. Madison's non-emergency medical transportation company is affordable and accepts insurance. Call 608-774-9715 or visit mbltransports.com to schedule your next ride.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Found an injured, sick, or orphaned wild animal? Dane County Humane Society's Wildlife Center can help. Call 608-287-3235 or visit giveshelter.org/wildlife for what to do next.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Taylor Sheridan and Paramount Plus are proving to be a match made in ratings heaven. Sheridan's 1923 season 2 finale brought in over 14 million viewers, the most ever for the series, as people tuned in to finally see World War I hero and lion hunter Spencer Dutton come to the defense of his family's land. As a result, the show joined Landman and Tulsa King as the top three shows on Paramount Plus. The season 2 finale of 1923 also got 163 million views on social media. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia will return for its 17th season in July. In a related story, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia has been on for 17 seasons. In the new season, the Patty's Pub gang struggles as they are about to see their beloved bar devoured by corporate America. Admittedly, I completely forgot it was still on the air, but it is currently the longest running live action series. The new season starts July 9th on FX, with shows screening on Hulu the next day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers beat the Tigers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers with a 5-1 win over the Tigers. Milwaukee winning the series. Pat Murphy pleased with the performance from starting pitcher Jose Quintana.
He's so under control. Guys want to play behind him. You know, he didn't have his best stuff today. He didn't have his best command today. Walk three in the first inning. Very efficient after that.
Basketball, the Bucks head to Indianapolis tomorrow, where they'll face the Pacers in game one of their playoff series Saturday at noon. Women's volleyball, the Badgers with a 3-0 win over Marquette in straight sets. Head coach Kelly Sheffield says it was a good turnout at the Fieldhouse for the spring game.
I thought we had a great crowd tonight. The number of people that were here, I remember our first year here where there'd be some matches that there'd be half as many as what there were tonight. That's what we're hoping to do is continue to get to the point where even our spring matches are filling the entire building, you know, and then having the match covered on BTN.
That's Badgers volleyball coach Kelly Sheffield with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A little sunshine this morning, then mostly cloudy. It'll be breezy with a sprinkle or two this afternoon. Our high in the low to mid 60s. Tonight, showers, thundershowers likely. We could get a quarter inch or more of rain. Our low 53. Tomorrow, scattered showers with highs in the upper 60s to low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the NFL draft coming to Green Bay. What does that mean for local businesses? We'll talk about that. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings at 11.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Please stand by for the John and Gordy Morning Show. Phone lines are open right now. Call or text 608-879-8255 or use the free Civic Media app. And now, live from the Civic Media headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, here are John and Gordy. We're truly sorry.
Yes. Yes. It looks like it's going to be a pretty nice day today. At least I'm hoping so. Here on WMDX, we have the WMDX weather window overlooking State Street, Capital City.
Yes.
And the WMDX official Samsung watch of the show.
Yeah.
We'll be checking in with that in a few moments.
Good morning.
And I have plans today to spread grass seed all over my lawn to see how that works. That's going to be a $56 investment. I know I'm just spreading $56 all over my lawn that'll blow away.
It is going to be breezy again today. So
oh, no.
I don't know. Yeah. Is today a good day to do that kind of thing?
I got no choice. It's going to start raining later, I suppose.
Yes, that's right.
Why don't you just like rent a sod cutter and then take your neighbor's lawn?
Oh, I'd love that. No, I don't need their dandelions. The nice thing about sod is you don't get the dandelions and you have an instant, really thick lawn.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I have too big a lawn for that.
Okay.
You could have one nice green patch and then the rest just kind of brown around it.
Well, I did have a green patch when they took out a tree and the stump and they replanted that area and it was just gorgeous. And now that has since dwindled into nothing.
What kind of grass seed did you get? You have to do anything else to treat it? Do you just throw it on there and sprinkle some water on it?
It's got a little soil in it. It's got fertilizer in it.
Oh, okay.
And it's also the grass seed, and it's supposed to work wonders, like magic. Okay. It's like the Jack and the Beans, you know?
Jack and the Beanstalk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the beans before they became stalks, yeah.
Okay.
But, you know what I'm getting at here. You know, I want a nice lawn. I know you don't.
I have no idea where I'm going. You're driving around the parking lot without a space to park.
There you go. So, that's it.
That's John Peterson. I'm Gordy Young, producer Sam, all raring to go here on this Thursday. And it is looking mainly clear out there. And we're at 39 degrees currently, according to the WMDX thermometer outside the WMDX window.
Is that really what?
39.
Well, I suppose this puts a lot of pressure on the WMDX Samsung watch at this point. So, currently 40 degrees.
Okay. Well, so we're, in the ballpark.
Yes, I know. And then a high of 66 today.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Well, let's...
Anybody keeping track of these temperatures? I'm not.
Well, let's check the weather roulette wheel. Yeah. Let's just roll it around and see what happens here. Afternoon high. And around it goes. Mm-hmm. And where it stops is right there on red 62.
So it's red 62.
That's quite a difference from what your watch is saying.
Yes.
So, you know, we'll have to compare it later on.
You think so? You think we'll remember?
See how that goes?
We're about 3 minutes away from sunrise, just to let you know.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
And tonight, sunset is at 7:42. Plan your grilling accordingly.
Okay. Well, it's going to be raining, it looks like. It could cloud up and might have some showers by late in the day.
Yeah. So, well, I'm hoping for my grass seed.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, good enough. What about the National Day calendar, you say? Well, we've got it right here.
Yeah, what about that? Oh, my gosh.
Is it or is it not?
Don't bring me down with this. Whatever you do, don't depress me.
Okay. Is it National Get to Know Your Customers Day? Mm. How about National High Five Day? National History Museum Day? National Cheese Ball Day? National Haiku Poetry Day? Or National Ellis Island Family History Day? Which one of those days?
It's not High Five Day.
Well, you're wrong again today, John. Whatever your name
always.
Is. Forgot whatever, your name for a second there.
Whatever my name is.
Sam, do you have a guess? It's not National High Five Day. No.
It's not History Museum Day.
You got it right for a change. Right. Yeah. Hmm. Get a shiny new dime added to your account. Okay. It's Get to Know Your Customers Day. Hey. Okay. This is for retailers, I imagine. Reminds businesses to reach out to patrons and get to know them better. You know, the day is observed annually on the third Thursday of each quarter.
That's a wonderful tip for all the Tesla dealers out there and the salespeople on the floor. Go out there and get to know your neighbors.
Okay. What businesses get to know when... Oh, okay. Let me start over. When businesses get to know their customers, they also get to know more about what they need to grow. What? Remember when Main Street businesses were locally owned and operated? I remember those days.
Oh, yes. Fond memories.
The owners knew you by name. They knew your shopping habits. Additionally, they typically knew what you wanted to buy. Not surprisingly, they were willing to get it in for you if they didn't have it. Unfortunately, with the advent of the internet and big box stores, much of the personal attention has gone by the wayside. Boy, if you can get any attention from anybody at a big box store, you could, you know... Why is that? You can't find anybody to get help anymore when you're in a one of the big box stores.
That's not true at Costco, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, except for Costco. They have plenty of people. That's
yes,
true.
They do have quite a few people there, and they're all friends.
Yeah, okay. Is your friend still working there that greets you when you walk in the door
Different area, apparently. She got tired of doing that, so now she's in a different area. I never see her. Oh. But I just want to say something about the old shop owners.
Yeah.
It used to be not so much that they knew what you were going to order, but it was more or less you had an account with them.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd buy your stuff, and they'd just add it to the account at the end of the month. They'd give you the bill, and you'd pay it off.
Yeah.
And that was the way it was done in the local areas in Milwaukee where we lived.
Those were the days.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of nice because as kids, we'd go to this market and we'd pick up all the hot dogs and all the meats. We just went there and shopped, put it on the bill.
Put it on the bill.
My parents, God, their bill must have been outrageous. I bet it was like, you know, having the Amazon bill come every month, you know. It's just
what? You
outrageous.
Bought what?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's National High Five Day. When was the last time you saw somebody give a high five? You know?
I hate people that give high fives. I walk away, I'm running. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? Do you really have to have some kind of skin contact? No.
I forgot all about the high five. Actually, I was watching, I was scanning through the channel, doing high-speed scanning.
I'm good at that.
Yes. And they had an Everybody Loves Raymond on that flashback to when they were high school kids. You know, they were wearing bad wigs and bad clothing. And at this party, everybody's giving each other high fives. And I thought, God, yeah, I remember high fives. Yeah, that used to be a thing.
What are you talking about? Like,
this is when you, instead of like a fist bump.
Oh, you
bump
don't even
now,
know what a high five is.
Of course, no, people still high five each other. I don't know what you're talking about. Not like in an everyday context all the time, but like.
Well, this was pretty much all the time.
maybe it's because I work with kids more.
Sam,
but
there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with people that high five. You know, stay away from them. Steer clear.
John, don't make me walk in there and give you a high five.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So
never saw a need for slapping five or high fives.
Stan's giving himself a high five.
I know.
Now.
He is.
A little creepy. Okay. Each year on the third Thursday in April, we observe National High Five Day. This is a fun day where you can high five everyone you see. Oh, let's just try to
stop it.
That.
Oh, no.
Get arrested.
Oh, yes.
Okay, never mind. Let's move on.
You're like an old television sitcom, you know, watching people in the office high-fiving all day long.
It's National Cheese Ball Day. When was the last time you had a nice cheese ball? Get some crackers and break that thing open.
Is that what you get a cheese ball and you swipe the crackers into the cheese ball and scoop out something?
Yeah, that's basically the idea.
Boy, what a dumb. that doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah. It's National Haiku Poetry Day. Yes. I know you're a big fan of haiku,
poetry. Oh, haiku, yes.
what is
five
that? Lines?
Do they have an example?
I think it's, let's see. Here we go. Observed annually on April 17th, Haiku Poetry Day encourages all to try their hand at creativity. The haiku poetry is a form of Japanese poetry that is non-rhyming and usually consists of three lines with a syllable pattern of 5-7-5. So they give an example here. This is called Haiku, The Other World by Richard Wright.
Oh, that's nice. Yes.
You remember this one, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a classic. White caps on the bay, a broken signboard hanging. Is that bang? No, it's banging. A broken signboard banging in the April wind. You want me to repeat that? White caps on the bay, a broken signboard banging in the April wind.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, no, that's poetry. That's haiku poetry. What?
Yes, no, that's it. That's it. The old beatnik.
That's what you're doing.
Instead of applause, you get
snap your fingers. Yeah. Okay.
And it's National Ellis Island Family History Day. Why would that be today? Well, we'll find out. April 17th, National Ellis Island Family History encourages families to explore their ancestry and discover family who immigrated through Ellis Island. You ever go through your family history, John? Get into genealogy or anything like that?
What is the what was the site that everybody went to, but now it's bankrupt?
I think that's 23andMe.
23andMe, yeah, that's right.
Ancestry is still
that's
happening.
Right. Now, you know, we never got to that story on the show, but it was it was a nightmarish news story.
Right.
Where all these histories. Yeah. All these millions and millions of people, now all of their information is for sale. Their genetic makeup is for sale.
Right.
Oh, my God.
That's not good.
Hey, Mark texted and said, do you put straw down over the seeded areas? Well, I haven't done it yet, but no, this stuff avoids the whole putting straw down thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, that would make
sense,
right?
Just because you said that now it's not going to work.
Yeah, I know. Mm. I know.
Do we have time to get to the history book there, Sam?
I don't know if we do right now. We'll get to it soon.
If you don't know, how would we know?
Okay, the answer's no, Gordy.
Okay, that's
not yet.
That's more definitive. Okay. All right, coming up a little bit later on, we're going to be checking in with Kara Ogburn. She's with the Milwaukee Film Fest. She's the artistic director. In fact, we'll have a couple of tickets to give away in our 7 o'clock hour. And we'll check in with Judy Davidoff from the Isthmus about the latest issue that's out there. 18 minutes past the hour. Back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning in just a moment.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Hey, Gordy. How you doing?
Oh, Arthur, great. Great to see you. What are you doing in the studio?
Well, I need to talk to you about doing a commercial.
Okay. Well, you know, to get a commercial on the air here, you just go down to the sales department. It's right next to the bathroom.
I don't think you understand.
Oh, I understand plenty. You salespeople drink a lot of coffee. That's why the bathroom's right there.
Right. But I need to have you make a commercial about commercials.
Wait. A commercial about a commercial? I don't follow.
I want to tell potential business owners out there how to contact me to get a commercial on WMDX.
Okay, I get it. Okay, let's come up with something. Let's see, business folks can contact you directly, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. What's the email, huh?
Okay, so it's sales@WMDXradio.com.
Oh, wait, run that by me again.
sales@WMDXradio.com. So we could put all that together and get into a commercial, get on the air soon?
Arthur, my friend, I think we just did.
Advertise on WMDX Radio. Email Arthur, sales@WMDXradio.com.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Could coal make a comeback in Wisconsin? Pollution and high costs have pushed utilities to start shutting down coal plants across the state. But the Trump administration has announced emergency orders to boost coal, including offering power plants a 2-year exemption from requirements to reduce emissions of toxic chemicals like mercury, arsenic, and benzene. April 22nd marks the 55th anniversary of Earth Day. Back in 1970, Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson called for an environmental day of action that inspired 20 million Americans to take to the streets and demand protections from environmental contamination. Less than 8 months later, Congress created the EPA. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Jimmy. WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning.
It's 6:21. It's 39 degrees, mostly clear, but some clouds are going to be moving in, maybe rain later on.
Yeah.
Highs in the 60s for today. And it's going to be breezy. So
breezy again, and there goes the lawn seat. It's going to blow away. I was worried about that.
Well, 20 to 30 mile per hour winds. Is that going to do it?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Could blow it into your neighbor's lawn, and then
they're going to have a nice lawn.
What do you got for history, Sam?
Right, let's open up the book. Let's go online.
Let's go to the Kindle version.
Yes. Okay. Oh, boy. Is that dial-up working?
Ah, there we go. Got a good connection.
Good.
What do we got today? I want to see if you remember any of this stuff. Well, this all happened during your lifetimes. Yeah. Today, 1961, the Bay of Pigs invasion began.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vaguely remember that.
Vaguely. Yeah. You would have been a little tyke still then.
That was eight.
Very tense times.
8 or 9, yeah.
At the Peterson home.
Yes.
You remember that?
I just as a little time? Kid, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. It was a fiasco. Yeah.
That it was. Yep. I didn't learn about it in school, really. I kind of had to find out about it on my own, which is
that was a complaint my kids had, too. They didn't learn a lot of history. In history class in school, and it bothered them. They really
wanted to know.
Yeah. You know, and then my son found out about World War II in English class because it was a reading assignment.
He didn't know about World War II.
They didn't teach World War II.
Okay. What? Like, he knew that it happened, but he didn't know anything about
they have kind of an overview, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if he knew about World War II or not. My point is that he learned about World War II, Germany, and the death camps all in an English assignment.
That's
okay.
Wild.
Yeah. A reading assignment.
Both of your dads fought in World War II. John, and John, you've got really young kids. Did they ever get a chance to talk to your father about
that? No, but my wife's brother did. Even recorded it. Mm. And then he never let me listen to it.
What?
No, he meant to. Yeah. He just keeps forgetting, and I haven't asked. So, but I'd love to hear it.
There's a recording, should have a chance.
Part of that recording. Silent generation.
Yeah, they didn't like to talk about it.
They didn't talk about anything at all.
Yeah.
They never complained about Medicare. They should have.
If I lived through World War II, I probably wouldn't have wanted to talk about it either.
Well, I don't know.
My dad didn't see any action. I mean, he wasn't in a military zone, but he was in Panama for most of the war. But
my dad saw a brief action, but was shot immediately.
He was shot?
Yes, yes. And
he was all right, obviously.
Yes, yes, survived. Just amazing. You know, you get... Yeah, shot, and you depend on other people to say, well, I'm going to try to save this guy, you know? It's kind of a weird
thing. Where was he when he got shot?
I don't know. I don't know anything about his experience there. Again, my wife's brother knows more about this than I do.
Maybe you ought to contact him and get the tape.
Yeah, he was wounded, and everything worked out, but wow.
Was it a serious wound? Where did he get hit?
It was, through the back and took out a lung.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all
yes,
right.
Yes, I know.
It's
a very up story that I thought I'd...
right. When you guys were young, did either of you want to be astronauts?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Gordy, did that change after Apollo 13 happened?
It might have, yes.
I mean, 13 you were already a little older at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
But today in 1970, Apollo 13 safely returned home.
Boy, that was touch and go there for a few days.
Yeah, very
That's
tense
a
situation.
The movie with Tom Hanks, right?
Yeah, I've seen the movie quite a few times.
Yeah. Oh,
it's good. Yeah. And anything else?
And I can't tell if you're gonna say something or not. 2011. You guys ever watch Game of Thrones?
No.
Sort of toward the end.
Yeah. I have not seen any of it. I know that a lot of people are diehard fans, though. 2011, Game of Thrones hit the screen for the first time.
2011. Wow.
It went on for quite a while.
It did go on. You know, the thing that bothers me about Game of Thrones is, it lasted many, many seasons, right? So you just don't want to jump in because you're not going to be familiar with a lot of the characters. So I thought,
had like a horrible ending, a very, very, not satisfying ending, didn't it?
Yeah, I heard that too.
So there's no point even watching the show as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know. A lot of people seemed to like it, so I wanted to check it out.
Right.
But I didn't want to just jump right into the show. So I wanted to see season one, and they made an amazing decision. They didn't release season one or allow you to see it without paying for it in some way, shape, or form. And I'm thinking, well, does that help? Maybe they should have just shown season one and then hooked people on to season one so they'd watch the rest of the damn series, the dumbasses. God, just makes me angry thinking about it to this day. Would have had a fan. I'm sorry. I'm almost at wit's end. I wake up every morning and I get the news, and I'm thinking we're all doomed. We're absolutely doomed.
That was kind of way you came into the studio this morning.
Yeah, I apologize for bringing everybody down. Right
like the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket.
First words John said to me when he came in this morning, you know, I just don't know what I'm going to do with this program anymore.
There's a lot of doom and gloom. I have so many stories.
I know.
I have no time to actually give you these stories because they're really super important. They're going to make a difference. Everything turns on these stories.
Yeah.
And we don't have time to fill you in.
Well,
on a lot of them.
And a lot of it's really bad news for everybody.
It's not good news.
No, it's not.
No.
Yeah.
And the thing is, there's no hope.
Okay.
I don't want to bring everybody down.
No, come on.
But there doesn't seem to be much hope.
There's always hope. Okay.
But there is. You told me the story about the Republican you watched.
Trey Gowdy. Even Trey Gowdy's turned Trump.
Turned against Trump. That's hope.
Hope right there. Okay. We will be back with Idiocracy. Oh, no, we have Dr. Tim Slecker.
Yes.
That's right.
Busted Pencils,
talking about that Harvard story. Boy, oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
And a whole lot more coming up on John and Gordy in the Morning on WMDX.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you on a Thursday morning. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Well, the quarter century mark is now upon us in agriculture and ag lending. The U.S. is doing well, but the global economy is struggling. This is according to agriculture finance professor David Cole from Virginia Tech. He tells us why the United States economy is faring better than most.
We have a bifurcated economy, world economy. In other words, the U.S. economy is doing quite well. The rest of the world is struggling. The reason the U.S. economy is doing quite well is basically our deficit spending. And also our equity markets, our stock market and real estate has gone up. So that has really fueled consumption spending. So 70% of the U.S. economy is driven off that. And so that's been the big drivers of change. Of course, with the possible tariffs and the decline in the stock market, we could see that change dramatically. It's the stairs up, the elevator down. In other words, when things correct, it corrects fast.
Agriculture, finance, and agribusiness professor David Cole joining us from Virginia Tech. Don't touch that dial. I've got more farm news next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Legislation is circulating the state capitol that will influence where renewable energy projects are located. The whole bill package is called the Wisconsin Energy Reform Act, and it has a farmland preservation element. I talked to Assembly Agriculture Chair Travis Tranel about this provision. He tells me the bill encourages utilities to put wind or solar arrays on marginal land. It requires that they purchase 4 acres of agricultural conservation easements with every 1 acre of renewable energy. You can find all the details at MidwestFarmReport.com. And while you're there, don't forget to follow along with us on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report or Instagram at MWF Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A little sunshine this morning, then mostly cloudy. It'll be breezy with a sprinkle or two this afternoon. Our high in the low to mid 60s. Tonight, showers, thundershowers likely. We could get a quarter inch or more of rain. Our low 53. Tomorrow, scattered showers with highs in the upper 60s to low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
This is Chad Spate for Chad's Design Build. We're proud to employ some of the best carpenters and remodeling professionals in our industry. Are you honest and hardworking? Do you love to improve people's lives by improving their homes? Chad's Design Build offers excellent compensation and benefits focused on outstanding customer service, professional design, construction management, and craftsmanship, all in a nurturing, positive workplace. Whether you're thinking about remodeling your home or considering joining our team, go to chadsdesignbuild.com to learn more.
Ever feel overwhelmed trying to figure out what your dog really needs? Don't worry, at Serenity Pet Spa, we know before you do. Our expert groomers understand every coat type, every breed, and every unique personality. Whether it's a high-energy puppy or a nervous senior, we tailor every groom to keep them healthy, happy, and looking their best. Trust the pros so you can focus on loving your pet. Book your appointment today at Serenity Pet Spa, where grooming meets expertise.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. And then all the way from WGBW, Amanda Nimmer joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
It's morning. Time to wake up, get some coffee, and call your parole officer. It's John and Gordy in the morning on 92.7 WMDX.
We'll have to change that. They'll have to call the Homeland Security office.
That's it.
Send us out of the country, boy.
6:34. It's 40 degrees. Highs in the 60s today. Look for some rain showers developing late in the day and this evening. It's John and Gordy along with producer Sam.
And it is time once again for Busted Pencils. Tim Slecker is with us this morning talking education with an educator. All right? So, you know, there's so much to talk about, isn't there, Tim?
a little, you know. Yeah. I mean, every so often.
every once in a while, a story about education pops up.
You want to tackle Harvard first, or what do you want to go with?
Either that or the use of condiments.
yes, the important use of condiments. Why don't we get to the cut from Linda McMahon, her Department of Ed leader, who wants to phase out her own job. Well, you can't make this stuff up. God. All right. Well, anyway, this was her comment during a little press conference. Let's listen to this thing.
Mm-hmm. I think it was a letter or a report that I heard this morning. I wish I could remember the source, but that there is a school system that's going to start making sure that first graders or even pre-Ks have A1 teaching, you know, every year starting, you know, that far down in the grades. And that's just a wonderful thing. Kids are sponges. You know, they just absorb everything. And so it wasn't all that long ago that we're going to have internet in our schools. Woo! Now, okay, let's see A1 and how can that be helpful? How can it be helpful in one-on-one instruction? How can it be helpful in absorbing, you know, more information for those fast learners? It can be more one-on-one directed. And those are the kinds of things and innovations that I want to see continue to develop.
That's nice.
A1.
Now, here's a comment from that post that I read. McMahon keeps referring to A1 as, or AI rather, as A1, and talking about how it will help students at all levels. But how can we get those students to drink it? Linda added, they wrote, the smarter kids can move up to Thousand Island dressing. Bring that into the class. And then I have this web wisdom from somebody who also observed something that I wasn't aware of during this conversation, during this interview. Let's listen to, this is cut 179, and this person has an observation I think is important to add to this. So let's listen.
Trump's education secretary, Linda McMahon, just said she wants to incorporate A1. Steak sauce into our schools. She seems to have gotten confused because she was on a panel about AI technology with a bunch of AI company CEOs who were trying to figure out how they can get the Trump administration to invest in their products.
Yep.
The funniest part to me is that all these CEOs are trying to curry favor with the administration, so no one corrected her and they just left it out there, A1 steak sauce in the schools. Not to mention the fact that we have much bigger problems to solve in the US education system than figuring out how to integrate AI. It would be a lot funnier if these people weren't running our government and the price for their ignorance wasn't being paid by our kids and their future.
There you go.
Well, it could have been worse to systematize their sauce. Yes.
That's right. That's true. Liam Perrin's
Worcestershire
sauce.
No one can say that cleanly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's really funny. I mean, it's almost like, wow, what comics wrote this script? Because, you know, but to, you know, to think about, you could tell though that what she was speaking was something that was already prepared remarks for her, because, you know, if she would have said AI, the following, you know, kind of qualifiers that she used about, you know, one-on-one instruction, innovation, and things like that, you know, those were very nice, well-intended, and in fact, accurate statements. And so, which kind of points out the reality is that she didn't really know that that was AI. You know, she really thought about A1. And so you'd sit there and go, you know, oh, it was just a faux pas. I don't know if it was a faux pas as much as it was somebody who really didn't understand that they were talking about how AI would be useful in schools. And she jumped right into A1. So,
And having talked to, you know, people from the AI industry prior to that is just unbelievable, unthinkable at a certain point. But yes, what she did talk about was accurate, which even surprised me. So, you know,
well, but see, it's not surprising, right? Because these are comments that were not those weren't hers.
Okay,
they were
written.
Prepared for her, right?
Yeah.
You know, and which again points out that here, you know, what are the qualifications of this person to be in charge of the nation's education? We start to go, okay, well, how did she get this job? And everybody knows exactly how she got this job, you know. But A1, you know, it. Oh my goodness. I mean, all the jokes. Yeah, how do we get A1? Well, and then I read somebody else who was like, hey, you know what? Maybe this is good news for the school lunch program because maybe we'll start serving steak. You know,
At least enough of the
add some flavor to school lunches.
Enough of the fish sticks and tater tots. We're going right to the top.
Yeah. You know, well, and like we said, and so, you know, we talked about this on Busted Pencils, and, you know, there's A1 sauce, and, you know, back to the Nancy Reagan's use of ketchup, Heinz ketchup, as a vegetable for school lunches, you know, because, she made that comment with the sincerity of going, well, what do you mean kids don't get their vegetables? They have ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait a minute. What planet are we on?
Yeah.
What are we talking about? I mean, you know, especially and imagine ketchup. Have you read the ingredients of ketchup? It's like, you know, red dye number 10 and sugar. I'm sorry.
That's good to expound. I was watching that panel discussion that she was on, and the two people she was talking to were advocates of privatization of schools,
right?
And then she went on to explain a few things about how important it is to have a variety of different kinds of schools to go to, public and private, and, you know, religious schools, and how important it is, you know, just to have that option out there. And then she went in to the idea that there'll be hybrids of learning, and that is that some people will go to public school in the morning and then in the afternoon go to a private school and have private classes there. It's just a little bit of convolution, you know. It's
an education buffet.
It is.
You know.
Can't quite land on a solution, so let's just go with it all, you know?
Talking to Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils, a podcast you can listen to on Civic Media here on the Civic Media app. You can join the conversation, 608-879-8255. Let's move on to the Harvard issue. Well, so Harvard is
Harvard is about to, you know, invest in A1.
Well, who knows what they're going to do?
You know what? Maybe they'll choose that instead. You know, maybe that'll make the administration happy. You know, we were watching a little bit of coverage on CNN this morning on our monitor here in the studio, and they were talking about the fact that now Trump is threatening to prevent international students from attending Harvard as well.
That's the latest.
Yeah, that's the latest.
Well, I mean, where do you start with this one?
Right.
You know, higher education, and I think this is one of the ways that, you know, to look at this is somebody saying, well, you know, they deserve it. They're an elite woke institution. They're indoctrinating. But, you know, they're a private university, mm-hmm. right? Making decisions about how they admit students, whether or not they're going to have programs that talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion and things like that. The idea here, let's just, you know, forget about this being Harvard and talk about it being a private business. Mm-hmm. And ask the question, would you or would we stand for government intrusion like this into a private business? And I ask that question to, you know, conservatives, my neighbors, who I think, you know, if you broke this down into that simplicity of a kind of an equation, I think a lot of them would have real doubts about this being a policy that they feel comfortable with. Yeah. You know, right? I mean, taking the seriousness to say, it's just like, wait a minute, what are we doing here? You know, what are the implications? You know, the government making denial of students. And I keep coming back to this one as being, you know, really, to me, the most concerning is that you continue to hear about wanting to actually control what is taught, Mm-hmm. Yeah. And okay, so Harvard is the most elite institution with some of the best researchers, produced the most presidents of the United States. And we're questioning whether or not they're teaching the appropriate content. all of a sudden now, yeah. Wait a minute. Harvard, can you believe what they're teaching at Harvard? We've got to control that because, you know, I mean, people, you know, it's an elite institution. I'm glad to see them really fighting back and hopefully providing some type of an example as a resistance. But I also do worry about the higher education in general. For the places that aren't Harvard, that don't have the resources mm-hmm. and the clout to actually put up a resistance the way they are. And again, the implications of the, you know, changing and actually requiring different curricula or how things are taught and what is taught, how many institutions of higher education already have made those decisions to, you know, obey in advance,
right,
and to avoid the type of scrutiny that their resources just would not give them the ability to deal with. Yeah. And that's, you know, that is where you start thinking about all of those small state institutions, small private institutions, community colleges, who are out there doing the work of educating the workforce, mm-hmm. who are saying, you know what, we just don't have the ability to put up a resistance to this. We're going to comply because actually we have a lot of real important work to do, and we just mm-hmm. don't have the time, bandwidth, and resources to put up a resistance to this. And how much of this really is the intention then of this administration to realize that you're going to get 80 to 90% compliance below the Harvards just by simply creating this type of news?
That's right. Well, there are a big protest going on all across the country, including right here in Madison at noon today in the Library Mall. There's going to be a protest. And the point of the protest is to urge the UW-Madison to join the Big Ten Mutual Defense Compact and commit to share resources and strategic support among all the 18 of the Big Ten universities in defense of academic freedom, institutional integrity, and the research enterprise. And it's, I think, all because of Harvard finally resisting what is going on with the administration.
And we'll get into a little bit more of that after we come back with Dr. Tim Slecker and John and Gordy in just a moment.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Hey, at the end of the day, everybody wants the same thing from their mattress. A good night's rest, am I right? It's not rocket science. You don't need a physics genius to make you a futuristic space bed. You just need someone to listen to what you want and who knows the materials that will get you there. And you might even be surprised to learn that that someone could be living right next door. At Verlo, we're your friendly neighborhood mattress genius. American made, locally crafted. Welcome to Verlo.
Hey, Gordy. How you doing?
Oh, Arthur. Great. Great to see you. What are you doing in the studio?
Well, I need to talk to you about doing a commercial.
Okay. Well, you know, to get a commercial on the air here, you just go down to the sales department. It's right next to the bathroom.
I don't think you understand.
Oh, I understand plenty. You salespeople drink a lot of coffee. That's why the bathroom's right there.
Right. But I need to have you make a commercial about commercials.
Wait. A commercial about a commercial? I don't follow.
I want to tell potential business owners out there how to contact me to get a commercial on WMDX.
Okay, I get it. Okay, let's come up with something. Let's see, business folks can contact you directly, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
What's the email, huh?
Okay, so it's sales@WMDXradio.com.
Oh, wait, run that by me again.
sales@WMDXradio.com. So we could put all that together and get into a commercial, get on the air soon?
Arthur, my friend, I think we just did.
Advertise on WMDX Radio. Email Arthur, sales@WMDXradio.com.
At Serenity Pet Spa, we're more than just a grooming salon. We're changing the industry. From mentoring the next generation of groomers to educating pet owners, we're raising the standards for expert care, safety, and compassion. Because your pet deserves more than just a bath and a trim. They deserve a lifetime of trust. Join us in leading the change. Hear me, Liz Johnston, share my expertise every month on 92.7 WMDX. Serenity Pet Spa, more than just a pet spa. We're changing the industry. Book your appointment today.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
.651 92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy, along with Dr. Tim Slecker. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Verlo Mattress of Madison. Wake up and sleep better on a Verlo mattress. A lot has changed since 1958, but some things have remained constant throughout Verlo's history. They're still direct-to-consumer and provide superior products at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress, two Madison locations, east and west. And go to verlo.com for more information. All right.
Yeah, I found out about these protests, these organized protests around the country to join, you know, in and defend as a group against what Trump is trying to do to the universities, you know, calling curriculum, having somebody oversee who they hire, all of that. It's insane. It's crazy. And because of that, you know, I saw it on TV last night. Yeah. It was on Rachel Maddow, and she showed a picture of the isthmus, and I guess it might even be in today's isthmus, that the headline about this organized protest at noon on the Library Mall. So I don't know how they got the message or news out to them. I looked on their site. I didn't see an announcement for this story. Mm. But, it's kind of interesting. It's hitting it. And the problem is our university is still not on board with this. And, Tim, I think the problem here in these local smaller colleges is that the colleges are funded by the legislatures. And if it's a conservative legislature, they're going to penalize and punish those universities if they join in on something like this. They'll call it woke and, you know, indoctrination, and they'll start cutting funding as they always do.
Right. Yeah. And you know, that's why I said that's the concern of joining into a movement and a resistance movement. And that's why, now coming back, it's good to see the Harvards stepping up because they have the resources, they have the credibility, they have that kind of a long type of relationship also with their alumni, very powerful alumni in the country, who are, I think, probably sitting there going like, wait a minute, what purpose does it serve to break down one of the most reputable institutions in the world? What's the gain going to be at the end of the day by destroying an institution that, you know, as they say, you know, if you get in and graduate from Harvard the rest of your life because of the connections to the alumni right there, it's frightening. I worry about it. But I, you know, at the same time too, we were talking during the break, there is also there's a petition and a letter out right now nationally that has, last I checked, this was maybe 3 days ago, so I'm gonna bet there are more, but 60 university past and present presidents have signed on to this petition to, you know, kind of push back on the Trump administration to say, you know, this is not something that is cool and kosher. And, you know, I don't know. It made me think, though, too, that, you know, maybe if we just all ordered A1, you know, things would be better. Maybe Harvard's
better with A1 sauce.
maybe Harvard's tactic would be to say, you know what? How about this? How about in all dining facilities in Harvard, we're going to use A1 from now on?
Yeah, they can go along with Linda McMahon on this one. I think, you know, right?
You know, good idea. And then I was thinking, you know, hey, let's go even further. Maybe Grey Poupon could be added into all of this.
Yeah. Well, that sounds a little liberal. You know? Yeah, I don't know. It sounds woke. Yeah, now, we had a few comments, by the way, some text here from Doug. Rock musician and singer Meatloaf appeared in a TV commercial for the product to promote a new slogan, A1 makes beef sing. But, you know, Meatloaf, why not, right? And here's another one, John in Middleton. Some folks learn to read by perusing cereal boxes and steak sauce bottles. I learned by reading ketchup bottles, and I'm still confused.
Thank you for that comment, John. And
A1 steak sauce, it's got electrolytes. It's what plants crave in the afternoon. So that's from Matt out in Middleton. Yeah. Oh, it's fun stuff. Good, you know, stuff. I mean, we could. I do want to play this one comment from Harvard University Professor Andrew Crespo. This is Cut 153. Let's listen.
Given Harvard is the first school that we've seen respond this way, how does that impact your lawsuit, and what does that mean for this going forward?
Well, I think the Trump administration's decision to cut $2.2 billion from Harvard tonight makes clear just how essential this lawsuit is and how critical this fight is and why it's so important for Harvard and really every university in the country to take a stand at this critical moment, because this is a clear, unquestionable violation of First Amendment rights. You mentioned some of the demands that the administration has made of Harvard. It includes things like trying to appoint a federally named oversight official to do an audit of every course, every department at Harvard to see if we have ideological balance to meet the Trump administration's test for what we teach and what we say at these universities. It's a transparent effort to change what is taught, what we say in our classrooms, what we teach our students, to make sure that the only things that are actually said on university campuses are things that the Trump administration wants to hear.
Okay, this is all part of what dictators do to take over, and that is to get rid of or at least change the universities, along with the media as well. That's what they're doing, threatening the media.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where it's at. All right, we're just about out of time, Tim.
we want to
end on an up note.
Wow.
That's
all right.
Well, I want to leave you in that high note there.
Sorry about that. So. You can catch Dr. Tim Slecker, Busted Pencils, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays with podcasts, and they also have one on Saturdays.
Well, check out the Wednesday podcast where Johnny and Tim go at it again. I think Johnny...
We've been doing that a lot lately.
That's true. Johnny didn't want to talk about A1 sauce for very long. So.
Thank you, Tim. We'll talk to you next time. And we'll be back with Kara Ogburn coming up from the Milwaukee Film Festival. Also, Judy Davidoff coming up in our next hour.
It's the John Gordy Show.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll talk issues that matter to you with State Senator Sarah Kieski and also Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich. Also, the NFL Draft of the Packers. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Madison, tax season is here. Ramos Tax Services has been saving you money for over 25 years. Locally owned, open year-round, and the best price in town. Mention this ad and get $20 off your return. RamosTax.com, 658 South Gammon Road. Ramos Tax Service.
April is Global Volunteer Month. Find the perfect volunteer opportunities for you at VolunteerWisconsin.org or contact your local United Way or Volunteer Center today. VolunteerWisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell said Wednesday tariffs will likely increase inflation. ABC's Rachel Scott in Washington says that sentiment not popular with President Trump.
The president firing back, criticizing Powell and saying that he needs to lower interest rates. All of this comes as the president continues his negotiations with other countries on trade, meeting with Japanese officials yesterday. Later today, he'll be meeting with the Italian prime minister. So far, no deals yet.
The White House says there is evidence that Kilmar Abrego Garcia belonged to a gang. He's the Maryland man who was deported to El Salvador, where he remains in a prison despite a Supreme Court order to facilitate his return. A federal judge also found probable cause to hold the Trump administration in contempt for defying his order to turn deportation flights around. Eli Lilly says its weight loss pill cut blood sugar averages by more than 1% in late stage trials. This is ABC News. Pennsylvania State.